Welcome to The Word Alive, radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for The Word Alive.
I want to talk about that today. When difficulties become destiny. I want you to respond in just thinking to these three statements after you've been born again. And one of them is this: life is good with God. Another one is, life has its normal and sometimes abnormal challenges. The other statement is this: life can have its unexplainable events. I want to ask you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We find one of God's revered servant leader, king, military warrior, and a very intimate worshiper by the name of David. But he's in a season when life appears to be good with God. He's facing some normal and abnormal challenges. But in 1 Samuel 30, it goes to another level. At this point, a stage in his life, he encounters what can be called an unexplainable event. Nevertheless, through the process of his pain, prayers, and perseverance, he finds beauty for ashes as difficulties become destiny in his life. I want us to look at this side of David's life, because so often we look at the side of the military victories. We look at the side of where he's been anointed by God from a young teenager. And we look at all of that, but David is facing what I would call an unexplainable event in his life. Let's examine David's life and learn lifelong lessons to keep us enjoying life with God, regardless of life's challenges and even the sometime unexplainable events that occurs in our life. You see, sometimes Christians, because they know they're born again and they've got God in their life and God has made a difference in their life, sometimes it's abnormal challenges. Sometimes it's the unexplainable events that shake their faith. And I know 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that there is no temptation that has taken us that is not common to man. And that God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted, tested, or tried above that we are able to bear. But with the same temptation, we'll make a way of escape. But yet, we have to face reality. There are things that come to shake our faith. In chapter 30, verse 1, it begins like this. Now it happened. How many know stuff happened? It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire. First lesson I believe we can gain is this. We must not allow fear to lead us toward our future. See, Ziklag in this scene in David's life represents a place of false security. It is here that David has made his headquarters as he gathered his private army and made raids against the Amalekites. I call it a place of false security because fear led David to this place. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 27 and you can get some background here to see how did David end up in Ziklag. So in 1 Samuel 27, the Bible reads like this in verse 1. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Now notice, this is what he's pondering in his heart. He's processing his situation, his life. And the Bible don't even say that David prayed about making this decision. He's pondering in his heart that this persecution, this discomfort in my life from Saul is never going to end. So he said, there is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. How many know fear is driving him now? He's tired. He's been dealing with this situation with Saul for years, and he's frustrated. And he said, the only way I'm going to get relief from Saul is I got to run to the enemy camp, the Philistines. Then David arose and went over with 600 men who were with him to Achish, the king of Maok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household. And David was with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him what? No more. I'm out of that situation. Wow, it's over with. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him what? Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the king of Judah to this day. Now, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. 16 months of his life is in Ziklag. God didn't direct him. God didn't guide him. Fear led him there. Saints, just as faith is no respecter of persons, and we see that in Acts chapter 10, Peter gets a revelation concerning the Gentiles or Cornelius. Peter finally realized that God is no respecter of persons, but whoever have faith, God can work with them. Fear is also not a respecter of persons. Fear don't care who you are. Fear don't care how much clout you have, how much power you have in the natural. Fear don't care what your spiritual record look like. Fear don't care how much you love God. Fear will come. Abraham, we call him the father of faith. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 10 through 11, how many know when Abraham went among the foreign king, how many know he had to lie because of fear? He had told his wife Sarah, whenever we go among the foreign kings, I want you to deny that I'm your husband and you are my wife. Why? Because of fear. When you walk with God for a while, you learn how to recognize fear. You learn how to deal with fear in your life. Not that it won't come, but the more you walk with God, you recognize, wait a minute, this is not of God. This fear. You have to face your fears. You have to own it. You have to identify it. You have to stop making excuses. Well, I'm just that. When you have fear robbing you of your future, you got to deal with it. Now, saints, fear may stimulate various emotions. You could just be startled. Something can jump out in front of you. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about the kind of fear that will hinder your future, that will cause you to get off course with what God is doing in your life. Now, when that type of fear comes in your heart, it becomes a spirit. You no longer find comfort in God's word. You no longer have confidence in God's word. This spirit of fear will hinder your faith and faithfulness. So I'm not talking about this little, you know, that scared me or what. I'm talking about that spirit of fear when it grips you. Matter of fact, this spirit of fear oppresses you. In Isaiah 54 and 14, when God leading his covenant people, he said, you're going to be far from oppression in fear. So fear what? It oppresses you. It holds you down. It brings you to places of discouragement. That's when it becomes a spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:5 through 7, listen to Paul when he talks to Timothy. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. So he's talking about his faith, his genuine faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. How many know Paul saw something in that young man? He saw what? Genuine faith. Sincere faith. He said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us what? A spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-denial. God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear. So fear can manifest itself as a spirit, and it will hinder your faith. And God can only work with faith, not with feelings. Oh, he'll have compassion, he'll have mercy, but God needs faith to get stuff done. Abraham had to learn that. Moses had to learn that. You and I have to learn that, that we are called to live by faith. Whether there are normal challenges, abnormal challenges, unexplainable events, we have to live by faith. Why? Because when faith is not there, fear enters. And the enemy, Satan, works with fear. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift, fan the flames. What? There is an anointing of faith in you, young man. And faith is not meant to just be dormant in us. Faith is meant to do what? Rise up in us. And when you are facing a challenge in your life, there is a faith on the inside of you. That's why you have to keep coming to church. That's why you got to keep listening to praise and worship music. That's why you got to keep praying and crying out to God. You are fanning the flames of the anointing in your life. Hallelujah. Why have the anointing and don't understand the purpose of it? One of the purposes of the anointing is so that you can stand, and after doing all, stand against what? The wiles of the enemy. God haven't given you a spirit of fear. There's some people now that can't step out into things of God because of fear. So you have to identify fear. You got to stop making excuses for fear. Well, this, and in your mind, you justifying why you won't do this. All that's fear. And you're going to wind up living your whole life missing out on God's plan for you because of fear. Then you'll start blaming other people. Well, I don't do this because of that. Well, I don't do this because of this. People look for all kinds of excuses to hide their fear. Well, you need to be true with yourself. The reason I can't move forward, the reason I can't do what God called me to do is because of fear. Fear is a spirit. God hasn't given you that spirit. God given you a spirit of what? Love, power, and of a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, since the scriptures reveal that fear can manifest itself through a spirit, therefore, to overcome fear, I have to implement spiritual weapons because I can't deal with the spirit with the flesh. I can't fight a spirit with the flesh. You'll lose every time. So you got to implement spiritual weapons. David ends up in Ziklag because of fear. God will not leave his children in a place of fear, even in our pain. Grace will respond to our prayers, and God will lead us to higher ground. He's in Ziklag 16 months. But how do you know God was not going to leave him there? The second thing lesson we can learn is we must not allow action of those who do not know our heart to change our heart. Even though David is struggling with the ongoing trial of life, King Saul constantly harassing him, hunting him down to kill him, having to hide out in caves and living in the wilderness, being hunted like a wild animal, living on handouts and outcasts. Now here's a man, when he looked back in the rearview mirror of his past, he said, wait a minute. God, why did you anoint me for this? When I was a little boy, why did you send Samuel to put the oil on me? And look at my life now. Nothing looks like I'm anointed. All the trouble that I'm going through in my life. I mean, no, that could have been in David's mind. David probably thought, hey, why he pick one of them other brothers? Saying sometimes life will get to a point where you wonder, my goodness, I'm saved. I'm born again. Why am I having to deal with all this kind of stuff? I mean, no, that's just what? That's natural thinking. David's got a lot that he can sit down and contemplate that this don't look like the life that I thought it was going to be. When I was willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll be the king. Is this what comes with being anointed by God? Used by God, serving God, leading in worship? I mean, no, David did all of that. But look at 1 Samuel 29, what he encounters. When people don't know your heart, you don't let them change your heart. The Bible says in chapter 29, then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? Listen. What are these Hebrews doing here? Who's the Hebrews he's talking about? David and his 600 men. The leaders of the Philistine armies are saying, wait a minute, why do we have Hebrews fighting with us? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, of the king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day, I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. I mean, no, he got a representative speaking in his behalf. Achish, a leader of the Philistines, said basically, he's cool, man. He's solid. He is real. He is sincere. Don't be afraid. But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return. In other words, get David out of here that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him and do not let him go down with us to battle. Lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master if not with the heads of these men? In other words, the leaders of the Philistines said, we don't trust David. David will get out there fighting with us against the Israelites, and he's going to flip on us. He's going to literally kill us for them. Is this not David of whom they sing to one another and dance and saying, Saul has slain his thousand and David has sent to him? You know, they think they know David. They heard things about him, but they really don't know his heart. And then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day, I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Okay, I'm okay with you, David. I know your heart. I've watched your life over these years. I know your loyalty. But the other leaders, they don't want you around. Therefore, return now and go in peace that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? Can you grab that? I've been rejected by my Hebrew brothers. I've been running all my life from Saul, the man that I served faithfully. And now I'm over here, got me a new job. You know, they gave me my own place, Ziklag. Now I'm thinking life is okay. Now you come and telling me I can't hang with you guys. So he's asking himself, what have I done? You know what he's saying? What have I done to deserve this kind of treatment? What have I done for you to treat me like this? Anybody ever been like one of those what have I done moments in your life? What have I done? Could be a parent with children. And you've done everything for them. And they grow up and they do things and you'd be like, what have I done for you to treat me this way? Could be a married relationship and all of a sudden one spouse is looking at the other spouse. What have I done for you to treat me like this? You could be on a job faithfully working and serving and all of a sudden they start doing things. You're asking yourself, what have I done to receive this kind of treatment? So David is having a what have I done moment in his life. And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord, the king? Then Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Isn't that encouraging? He said, I know your heart. I know you have been to me as an angel of God. No, you've been a blessing to my life. But guess what? The other leaders don't know your heart. Saints, when people don't know your heart, you don't let them change your heart. Achish knew David's heart was sincere and loyal. However, the other Philistine leaders did not feel the same way. Not only have David been rejected by Saul and his men, he is now being rejected by the one in whom he had been assisting in battles. Where does he go from here? What's next for David? He knew how to keep his heart pure along the course of life. That's the difference, that no matter what happened and how others treated him, he knew how to keep his heart pure. See, in Psalms 51:10, listen to what David, how he prays. He said, create in me what? A pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David knew how to keep his heart right. Even when he messed up, even when he sinned, even when he disobeyed God, he knew how to get things right with God. And he prayed, God, create in me what? A clean heart, a pure heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at what? The outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The always know that God sees your heart. Sometimes people have been mistreated, and all they could stand on was, I know God knows my heart. Sometimes people have been persecuted, and all they can stand on is, God knows my heart. What you're saying? That I'm sincere. Not that I'm perfect, but I'm genuine. The Bible says in Psalms 119:10-11, David said, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I make not sin. David knew how to manage his heart. Listen, saints, you got to know how to manage your heart. You got to make sure you don't let your heart become hardened. You got to make sure that you don't let your heart get full with bitterness and unforgiveness. David knew how to manage his heart. And as believers, you got to know how to manage your heart. You got to know how to protect your heart. You got to know how to cover your heart. Don't let nobody cause you to close your heart. Because there are things that God wants to bring into your heart. And if you shut it down, you could miss a moment of God in your life. In other words, don't let people's actions change who you are. Regardless of what they're doing, regardless of how they're acting, you just remain, I know who I am. And I know whose I am. The last thing is we must not allow the pain of the problem to fuel our faith. We go back to chapter 30. We begin to see that David and his men, they're out the battle. They're out fighting wars. And all of a sudden, they return to Ziklag. Remember, Ziklag represents a place of false security. David finds out that Ziklag is not so secure as he thought. Because the verse 2 says, the Bible says Ziklag was burned with fire. Verse 2, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, these are grown men. These are warriors. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Saints, you talking about compounded problems? He's grieving like everybody else. You go home one day and everything is burned, and everything you own, even your family, is burned up. I mean, no, the whole city is burned to the ground. All of their families are gone. Their children are gone. Their possessions is gone. And they're in such distress, discouragement, grief. And David is in the same place as them. But not only is David in the place with them, now David found out that the people that was with him is no longer with them. They are out to kill him. Because how many know pain seeks to blame? Pain seeks to blame. There is so much pain, they begin to look for someone to blame, and so they blame who? David. Pain also seeks to bring shame. And pain creates a spear for fear and frustration. Pain creates a spear, an environment for fear and frustration. I don't make light of their pain, because you're talking about major loss here. I don't make light of their distress. It's what's fueling their distress that will keep them stuck and defeated. See, discouragement is the door to depression and destructive behavior. People don't realize discouragement is powerful. It can paralyze a person psychologically. It can make a person feel that they have no value. It can make a person go back to the register of their mind of every negative thing that have been said about them and done to them, and they begin to stack it up. And while there is a state of discouragement, it causes the spirit of fear to enter in. And when that spirit of fear enters into their psyche, the devil now have access to offer solutions, suggestions. And he sends these thoughts as darts into your mind. Do this. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you just get up and go to Ziklag and forget about everybody? Why don't you get out of your pain by taking your life, ending it? It'll be all over. And even suggest then you be with God. I'm showing you the enemy. Listen, Satan will send arsenals to that path of fear. And see, again, I don't make light of their distress, but these 600 men with David, they are fueling their faith with negativeness, with doubt and unbelief. Somebody got to do something different. Somebody got to say, I can't keep fueling my faith with this. Get this now. It's like putting gas on fire. I can't keep fueling my faith with this doubt and unbelief. I can't keep fueling my faith thinking about what I don't have and get this, who left out of my life. I can't keep fueling my faith with this kind of stuff. I can't keep fueling my faith by blaming somebody else. They are blaming David. If David had never did this, if we had never came to Ziklag, if we have never joined this army, we were doing okay with our life till we got with him. Now, they were fine as long as they were winning battles, getting paychecks, going in, getting all the plunder. Because they were what? A mighty warrior. We were David. We living a good life. Then all of a sudden, things change overnight. How many know David decided to do something different? Verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. How many know grief make you do something, right? They were grieving. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself where? In the Lord. You know what David did differently? He had the same pain. He had the same distress. He had the same discouragement. He had the same grief going on in his own life. He done lost his family. He done lost his wife. Everything is gone. But he fueled his faith by saying, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. Why? Jonathan, his friend, is not there to strengthen him. His wives are not there to strengthen him. He don't have access to his parents, so he's all alone. But he's not really all alone. He strengthened himself in the Lord. It began with him looking within himself for the strength of the Lord. I want you to grab this, because sometimes we say, well, you know, Lord, you got to strengthen me. Like, God, you got to do something on the outside to come inside. No, if you're born again, it's from the inside coming up on the outside. In other words, you already have the strengthener on the inside of you. Oh, glory to God. Somebody need to grab this. See, sometimes we want somebody else to give us the answer. It's like the person sitting in class. They don't want to go through the process of study. They don't want to stay up all night and study. They just figure, I can call my friend and they can give me what? They can give me the answer. But you know what? You'll never learn nothing that way. You won't really be prepared. You took the easy way out. But somebody else say, you know what? I got to burn the candle late at night. I got to stay up all night long to prepare for this test. And when they do that, they take the test and pass. They got a story of, I remember when I stayed up all night long. I was tired, but I pressed my way. I studied when my mind was wandering. I stayed in those books. And get this, I made it. The answer is in you. See, if you went to a therapist or a counselor, a professional person, they're not going to sit there and tell you what you do this, you do that, and you do that, and I'm going out of my office. They're going to ask you questions that are open-ended, where you don't just say yes and no and get up and go, but to cause you to think and cause you to process. And all of a sudden, light bulbs going to go off in your mind. And you're going to be like, wow, I didn't see it that way. What? The answer was already in you. You needed somebody to help you process it and know how to bring it out. Glory to God. And God's got strength on the inside of you. And when you are going through the valley of shadow of death, your strength ain't going to come from the outside. They may encourage you along the way, but something's going to resonate on the inside of you. That God brought me out of sin. God brought me out of darkness. God brought me out of that situation, and God will do it again. Okay. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Where are you turning for your encouragement? How can David's reaction and action provide God's wisdom in your own life? Difficulties can provide a revelation of God's fullness. It can be an opportunity to learn who you really are from the inside out. That's why in Ephesians, Paul prayed the way he prayed for the church. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Where's your inner being? From the inside out. So when you pray for someone, you pray that God will take the strength that he's already deposited in them and let that strength rise up in them. And in the midst of distress, in the midst of discouragement, they'll stand up and decide that, you know what? I can die here. I can take my life here. I can run here. But I'm going to stand up and trust God that when I call on his name, he's going to answer me. That's what David did. So the Bible say in verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? David say, Lord, shall we take them? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover what? Yeah. Hallelujah. You're going to get everything that belonged to you back. Hallelujah. You would think, but man, with that kind of distress going on in his life, how can he hear the voice of God? When your faith starts reacting and acting, how many know you're going to hear God speak?
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.